And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America arises, it's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must take freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology, microchip in our ID. It's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you to the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby. Today is October 3rd, 2013. This call, it happens every week on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific. It's an introduction for the people of this United States of America corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, men and women of our armed services. We love you guys. The Republic government, called the Republic for the United States of America, has been re-inhabited. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans. We simply are not sovereign citizens. We are not anti-government. We are loving. We forgive. We are mothers, fathers, sons, daughters. We have families just like you. And we're sick of the same corruption that you are. We found some truths about the history of our country, and we're sharing these with you guys. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible, but they're true. And get ready to understand that you're about to be a part of history. I welcome each one of you to the Republic of the United States of America. Before we get started, we open up every week in prayer. So if you'd please bow your heads with us. And Janine, do you have anybody in mind?
Yes. Speaker Rockwell, would you open the call for us this evening?
Sure. I'd be happy to do that for you tonight. Yeah, dear Lord, thank you for giving us this time to come together, learn about your republic. Some people on the call tonight have no idea what the republic is all about, and that's why we're here, to teach the general public about what we're doing, how we're trying to get the government back to where the people have control of the government, not the government over the people. Be with us all as we speak tonight, that we can speak your words and get our point across very clearly. And in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a one of those subjects tonight we need to deal with in our nation as a people. What's been burdened and placed upon my heart tonight is basically an informational statement that I would like to share with you that I believe every single person in this country needs to know. I want you to picture yourself, and I'm going to try to do an analogy here, and I hope it works. I really want to make sure that we secure this republic nation. We have had so many different types of opportunities that we thought were absolutely wonderful, meaning first, the bonds came out, bond and promissory notes. Before that, or even sometime around the same time, A for V, accepted for value. Then EFT, money orders. And what we were seeing was absolute evidence that some debt, very little, was getting discharged. It was like they were letting the debt through on a minor scale to let it happen, let a transaction happen, and let somebody get a reconveyance on their house. It was lawful, and unfortunately, people that don't know how to defend themselves in a position of a court don't know how to enter and or discuss the law as it pertains to the actions that they did outside of court, will get themselves in trouble. Just today, there was a gentleman in Birmingham, Alabama, that took a two-year sentence for a bonded promissory note. And guys, look, you can write a note any day of the week. It's not unlawful. But if you take somebody that and present them before a jury as a con and a person who writes bad paper and tried to commit fraud, and then that person does not know how to explain the rules of law as it pertains to discharge and setting and settling of debt, because there is no money in this system, so there's only the set off of debt in this debt-based system. And so the point is people out there don't know how to argue, don't know how to present, don't know how to plead, don't know how to anything, and they find themselves in these positions where they are in trouble. So what do? They start running to different methods of trying to resolve their matter. They want to fix what they've done. They want to get out of being in trouble potentially, and they start writing these rescissions, these affidavits of non-signature, which I believe, quite frankly, is very important. But watch this. I want to explain something to you. When you do an affidavit of non-signature, you rescind your signature on a document. That is meaningful to you at that time because it is lawful. The definition of signature is that you understand the validity of the instrument. And if you don't completely understand the validity of an instrument, you have every right to remove your signature from an instrument, especially if there was no benefit or credit or any exchange of value between the bearer of that instrument and the person that the instrument, like the bank or the credit union or the financial institution. So, but here's the point. That's a new contract that you have created that you are stating that you could put into a record of a court. And guess what? Does that matter? It doesn't matter if you don't know how to stand and you don't know how to protect yourself, because this is the rule of the game. The latest contract wins. That's I don't know how else to – I could summarize the entire event tonight with that one statement. The best contractor wins. And when you're standing before court and they've kidnapped you and they've put you into custody and they don't let you out like they didn't let T.T. out. They didn't bail him out. He wasn't able to go to the law library. They raided his counsel's office. They did whatever they could to make sure that he stayed away a very long time. So I want you to consider this. If you've never done it, don't do it, meaning try to settle, discharge a debt or an instrument. There's plenty of lawful ways, not saying that that's not lawful, but there's plenty of lawful ways to go after a lender and have them prove up who they are, who they aren't in court. There's so much now being revealed through audits and different things that if you just educated yourself a bit, you can go into court. And if you knew where to file your complaints at properly, and one of the things that we're doing right now is we're going after the trustee with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and that's a felony, and it's a period of jail time for those trustees, and they're just not willing to do it with $15,000 on the line. Doesn't make any sense. So the point is if you educate yourself and you get your head wrapped around that versus trying to discharge a debt, you put yourself in a better position. Secondly, I want you to picture something. You're walking through a forest right now, okay, and you're surrounded by black. It's dark, it's nighttime, and you hear a bear, okay? There's a big bear over there. I'm going to ask you something. A, do you light a fire? No. What would I do? Well, first of all, I'd probably try to figure out how to walk really dang slow. Second of all, I try to stay downwind of the bear. I don't want to go upwind because my scent will hit him and he'll know where I'm at. Third of all, I'm not going to walk up to the bear and start playing games with him, and I'm not going to take a stick and poke him. Okay, now, that's your analogy for the night. The United States Corporation, its employees, they're like that bear, right? They're out there, and they're looking for people to pick on. They're looking for revenue. They're looking to enforce this system of structure of, quite frankly, I don't want to call it anything else but tyranny. We do have the best government in the face of the earth, but we have a bunch of corrupt people running it. I don't know how else to say it. Now, there's people that will argue whether the IRS is valid. There's people that will argue whether this or that. The Federal Reserve has a right to do what they do. Guys, stop arguing these points, okay? Stop selling the junk. Start focusing your life on the positive and get out of this negative stuff and start focusing on the positive, like this republic that has been re-inhabited. Stop poking the bear, okay? Liens, bonds, EFTs, threatening, writing letters to Congress, writing letters to different agencies, filing criminal complaints against agencies, this, that, and the other. If you don't know what the heck you're doing, stop doing it, okay? Period. If you don't know how to handle yourself in court, don't put yourself in court. If you don't like attorneys and you don't know how to handle yourself in court, by goodness gracious, don't put yourself in court. Look, we have an opportunity here in this republic government, and we need people that look like they are above reproach. Whether that is lawful or not lawful, I don't even want to argue that point because I understand that bonds and bonded promissory notes and bills of exchange and some money orders and some EFTs and these various different instruments have the law in supporting it, okay? And what is a dischargeable debt? Because you make an offer, and if they don't accept or refuse the offer and put it in writing within a period of time, it doesn't matter what it was. It could be pennies. It could be anything. That would be considered discharged under UCC law. But look, you present that to a jury as showing a fraudulent instrument, and they think that that prosecuting attorney is the best thing since sliced bread, and that guy would never hurt anybody. He is a United States prosecuting attorney. He wouldn't hurt anybody. You know what, guys? Look, they make their income, they make the revenue on hurting people, okay? We know that. We're experiencing that. We're going through that. It doesn't matter what you think is lawful or not lawful. Stop poking the bear. Stop it. There are so many opportunities out here to do good for this republic, to do good for this nation, and to support yourself and help yourself. There's reasons why people are broke in this country, and it's because we're focused on all these processes and we're not working. That's a fact, Jack. book. Read your materials at night in bed. Do your study at night after you put in a full day of work. God gave us a full day to go to work and serve and be able to bear the fruits of our labor. Focus on the good stuff. Get the paycheck. Stop poking the bear. Let's build this republic. And for goodness gracious, would somebody please build a website that sells hats, pins, bumper stickers, shirts, coffee mugs that all say the Republic for the United States of America with our website, and get out there and do something and make some sales and start spreading the news. That's what we need to be putting our focus on, is building this republic. Look at what's going on. I can't believe with what's going on in this country, we are not flourishing right now. I really can't believe it. Look, I'm surprised. I am literally surprised that with the government shut down, that people wouldn't be looking towards an alternative. We're so complacent. We are such programmed sheep that we will not set aside and look towards what is real. Guys, there is Supreme, listen to me very carefully right now. There is Supreme Court rulings that say there is three jurisdictions on this land: the Republic, the United States Corp, and the state citizenship. Supreme Court rulings have already established that. We are real. We have sat down and re-inhabited this republic. Now get off your butts and help build it. Do something. Go make a couple of bucks selling bumper stickers. Praise God somebody's doing something. But support and build this republic nation. I thank you for the time, Janine, and I yield.
Well, thank you, Kelby, and that's just the message that we needed to hear this evening, and you were just the guy to do it. Everyone, we're pleased to welcome Acting President Geiger to the call this evening. How are you this evening, and can you hear me?
I'm doing well, Janine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well and anxious to hear from you.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I do appreciate Kelby sharing what he did, and think he gave us all some very good advice. About the bear. Don't stick your foot in the water if you can't swim. That being said, I want to have a little bit of a repeat of what I shared with the governors Monday night. Just to put it in kind of a nuts and bolts fashion, you know, what I was sharing with them is, my daughter had a birthday, and she wanted me to cook specific things. And so I was able to, I was obliged, and I was able to please her and cook up those things that she liked, as the executive chef, if you will. But when I switched gears over to being the acting president in the executive branch of the republic, I really don't have that luxury of cooking what this person wants or doing what this particular group wants. I'm tied to doing, my hands are tied behind my back in such a way that I can only comply with what's written in the law. And I can't do things the way I might necessarily would like to do them. I'm obligated to carry out the law as it's written. So, in regard to the 1792 Act of Secession and the election of a president, an interim president for the republic, that law has already been signed into law by our forefathers. As the executive branch, we're obligated to follow it. So, that's exactly why we're having the election this fall, exactly why we're having the Electoral College. And those electors, you've heard one of the presidents had a sign on his desk. He said, the buck stops here. Well, in regards to the election, really the buck stops with the electors, they kind of have absolute authority on making a decision on how they want to do things and who they vote for. You know, no one, including Congress, can go down and say, well, elector, you can't do this or you can do this. You can't vote for them or you can vote for these. Those electors is where the buck stops. So I would encourage you all in all the different states, and several weeks ago, I made it clear that the executive branch has handed off the football to the states in regard to this election. And I was very serious about that. So the outcome of this process is completely in the hands of the states. And I would encourage you, whatever state you're in, to look into studying exactly what needs to be done. I know the acting Secretary of State has put together a PowerPoint and tried to educate people on how exactly it's supposed to work. I know we've had a national ad already giving public notice of the election. So the executive branch has done what we're supposed to do in that regard, and we've done it correctly. And I encourage those of you in the states to follow through and do your part. Janine, I yield.
Thank you so much, Acting President Geiger. I do have a little bit of housekeeping this evening. The first thing I need to report is that we now have, if you received the email for these calls, there is a donate button through PayPal if you'd like to make donations to the Republic for our operating expenses. And there's also a link that you can use if you would like to make a donation through PayPal on behalf of President Turner and his expenses. You do not have to have a PayPal account to access this at all. You can just do it with a debit card, credit card, or your bank account. There is also now a page on our national site, How Can I Contribute? And when you open up that page, you will find buttons that make it very easy for you to use so you can make a donation. No donation is too small, and if you like, you can even set up a recurring payment, if you will. Also, a lot of us have become dependent on hearing reading Gene Hertler's reports, a summary of the calls of each week. But for personal reasons, she is no longer able to continue to do those reports for us. So we are looking for someone that has good writing skills and is able to be on the calls Mondays and Thursday evenings to write a summary and report that we can send out. So if you are interested in that, please send us an email to rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. Again, that's rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And that concludes my updates for this evening, and I'd like to turn it over to the Congress. And Senator LaRue, would you like to give an update from the Senate, please?
Yes, thanks, Janine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, and welcome, everyone. The Senate is continuing to move forward. I very much appreciate what Kelby had to say tonight because it's very appropriate. You know, we need to focus on the solution. The solution is learning the laws, the laws that we have by right, which is under the Constitution. And so the Constitution is the remedy. Having our own court, having our own jurisdiction that's recognized, and we have to have a lot more bodies. As Kelby said, that you know we have we're in the process of restoring the government. We have occupied the offices that have been set aside, and we're in the process of continuing that process throughout the United States, and we're working hard to do that. As part of that process, we're taking up nominations in the Senate. We're in the various committees that are that have jurisdiction over those particular nominations. We are We've got two positions already that have passed through that, and we're working on some other positions. So we're continuing to do all that we know is right to do based on what the Constitution says, and focusing on the things that are not contrary. You know, a lot of the things that people are chasing down are things that are part of a process that are in a jurisdiction that we don't belong in. And so I really appreciate what Kelby had to say. With that, I yield.
Well, this is Speaker Rockwell giving an update for the House of Representatives. And I want to echo Senator LaRue and Acting President Geiger with Kelby's statement tonight. It's very true. And I was thinking along that same line this afternoon as I was thinking about what I was going to say. And, you know, with the government, quote, shutdown, and they're not sending out any funds to anybody, I was reading some people that were complaining about that these benefits they get from the government may stop at the end of the month. And I'm thinking, when our country was founded, everybody was able to work, and that was the key, and there was no unemployment at that time. People expected that if they wanted to eat, they were going to work. And now the time has changed where the majority of people depend on the government for their sustenance. And when the government stops doing that, then they panic. Well, what the Republic is doing and what it is meant to do is be controlled by the people, and the people are the ones that are getting out and working, and they sustain themselves. The government is just in place to help the people and do what the people want done. And so it was something I was thinking about today. In the Congress, in the House of Representatives, this week met with the Senate for a brief period of time and had a joint session with them, and Senator LaRue went over the Northwest Ordinance and explained it very well to both houses, so we all would have an idea what that said to hopefully eventually bring in more states into the Republic. We also are in the House going over the journals of the House, and I was looking at those today, ran across the vote tally of the first president, of course, George Washington, and of course it was with electors, and I think if I remember correctly, President Washington received 69 votes, and that was, of course, the Electoral College, so you can see how much different it was then than what we do today by taking a popular vote. In the corporation or a corporate president. And that's about the extent of my update for the House of Representatives, and with that I yield.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. If people are on this call and they have not been contacted by their state governments about having assembly meetings or meetings to put electors into place, or if you just don't know if your state government is functioning, please contact us at rrb.admin@republicofunitedstates.org, and we will try to get some people in contact with you. Also, I am going to ask Senator LaRue to come back to the call because I would like for him to they've been teaching and studying about the Northwest Ordinance and how that's going to work for our states that need to be set up. And if you'd give us a quick overview, so if we have someone on this call, there is no government in their state, and they're interested in being a part of the leadership, they can contact us. Senator LaRue?
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
Yes, I'll be delighted to do that. How much time do you want me to spend on it?
I tell you what, we're only halfway through the call, so you take as much time as you need.
Okay,
it's
very good.
It's important.
I won't take up an enormous amount of time. I just want to find out if you want the Reader's Digest version or essentially this is where we're at. And Kelby has done a great job in portraying, you know, where we're at and what our needs are. You know, we need to get focused on rebuilding our country and doing it under the proper jurisdiction. He identified, according to the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court recognizes or has made mention of three different jurisdictions at least. Well, there's only one jurisdiction that's lawful. That is under the Constitution. And so part of restoring the nation, and it's, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and so I'm just going to kind of summarize things. Let me think of where to start here. Going through our founding documents of our country, there's the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Northwest Ordinance, and then the Organic Constitution. And then after they had the first election, as Speaker Rockwell was just discussing, in that first session of Congress, they passed a statute called One Statute 50, which is the codified or statutory version of the Northwest Ordinance. And then a couple of years later, they passed the Bill of Rights. And so that's kind of an overview on those organic documents and the chronology of how they appear. Originally, our founders, and again, this is worth repeating because it's so important for people to understand who they are. Like Kelby said to begin with, we're not sovereign citizens. All men were created by God and given dominion, which by definition is sovereign authority. So God delegated to us a certain amount of authority to subdue the earth and to take care of some other things. And so our founders took that dominion, that sovereign authority, and they talked about it in the terms of God-given, unalienable rights, so that we're not subject, because of who we are, where we're born, you know, to be under somebody else's jurisdiction, that we assumed our just station among all the other powers of the earth. And because we have that authority as people answering directly to God, we had the authority by the consent of the governed to establish a government to secure our rights. So that's the basis for it. As we developed, we had the Articles of Confederation and a couple of important parts in there, and one of them specifically is where it says that once the states are part of the Union, that they are inviolably a perpetual part of the Union. So all the well-intended talk about secession and all of those things, that there's a reason that when the South pulled out, that it was an unlawful act, and that the government, the government had the right to go back and reclaim that territory, because under the Articles of Confederation, that precedent that was set, the states, once they have established a body politic, if they abandon their offices, their territory is still a part of the United States. It's perpetually a part of the United States. It was a territory prior to becoming a state or having a body politic that was tasked with observing the laws of the land, and meaning a republican form of government. And that's spoken of in the Articles of Confederation. It's spoken of in the Northwest Ordinance and so on. Every document that's been produced, you know, has guaranteed to the people a republican form of government. It's key to our entire, that's just the foundation of how things need to go here for our rights. So in the Northwest Ordinance, it was designed and became an organic act, which they used as a model for the expansion into all of the states west of the states that already existed when they passed that. It was specifically designed to be beyond the Northwest territories, beyond the Ohio River. And that territory was divided, I think, up into five different states eventually. But the act, the Northwest Ordinance, says that it will be at least three states and up to five. And so, again, they use that as a model. And in that model, the Congress, when they originally enacted the Northwest Ordinance, it was under the Continental Congress, which only had one house. It was a House of Delegates. And that Congress, the House of Delegates, they would appoint a governor and a secretary and three judges to be the foundational positions for a temporary government. And that's those are the words in the that are used, a temporary government. Once that territory or that state area that was eventually going to become a state had 5,000 voters, then they could start working on putting together a legislature. Once they had 60,000 people, they could apply for statehood. And that is the process that they used, and the Congress had the ability to appoint and to remove. And so that's how it was done. Those five positions served at the pleasure of the Congress. Once the Constitution was adopted, and then within a year it was ratified by at least nine states, they designed it for the powers of the Congress under the Northwest Ordinance to pass to the president. And once they started operating under the Constitution in March of 1789, they had the election, and President Washington was the first president, as Speaker Rockwell said. In that first session of Congress, they codified the Northwest Ordinance, which passed the powers to the president with the advice and consent of the Senate to nominate and approve, and also to remove people for improper conduct, getting outside of their oath, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we're doing right now, for the benefit of everybody to understand, is that because a number of the states do not have representation, when we started the Republic, it was a transition from another group that had representation in all 50 states. And so they all had a quote-unquote body politic there that was consenting to the work, that served a lawful demand and notice on the 50 state governments and the national government, and there was no reply. And so under their own structure of law, their own jurisdiction, their failure to reply opened up a door for that group to name its remedy. And so at that time they had all 50 states. Because of politics, opinions, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, personal agendas, et cetera, that are not compliant with the Constitution and the laws that are made pursuant to it, there's been a series of divisions. And, you know, the Bible says to watch out for those that cause division. And so, it's caused some problems, and so we have some states that are without representation. It doesn't mean that their body politic went away, because they had to comply. They had to have a constitution and things like that that were compliant with the United States Constitution. And, sorry, my little boy is exercising his right to free speech. Their body politic, if they abandon their offices, doesn't go away. So in our Republic Congress, we have decided that the positions that are, as a minimum, the five minimum positions, will be a governor, two senators, one representative, and a justice, so that all three branches are represented, and so that the states obtain immediate representation on the floor of the Congress, which is the purpose of the Congress, to represent the people. So I think it's a very good way to do it. And it provides representation immediately. It allows us to have some place to build. We do consider ourselves to be a temporary government, in that it's not without authority, not without legal or lawful standing, but that we just don't have enough people to conduct to operate under the Constitution with all of the people. So we don't have enough people. It's not that we don't have the intent or the desire to do it. We just don't have enough bodies to fill the seats right now. And so what we're doing is we're using the Northwest Ordinance to fill those positions state by state that don't have the people. And the reason that we can do that is because we're supposed to, under the Constitution, guarantee to each state a Republican form of government. And because the states already have a body politic structure in their constitution that has already been accepted, we don't need to put in a governor and a secretary and three judges. We need to fill positions that are going to help those states participate. So we took those five positions to do it that way. And moving forward, that's what's going to be the basis. We've got a number of people that have reached out to us on our website that have expressed their interest in being a part of the Republic and getting more information. It's those individuals in those states that Janine is wanting me to explain this process to right now, so that they can, so that we can get them engaged, hopefully take those positions, get them recommended, that the acting President Geiger will nominate them, and that they would be approved through the appropriate committee and the body of the Senate, so that we can help move forward based in law, using the precedents that our founders used, using those laws that are already codified as our guide, and get this thing back on track. And our goal, as has been stated numerous times, is to get us to the point where we can have a populace, the American people, having been fully informed, given full disclosure about where everything is at, and having them participate in a permanent election. And then the government will be completely restored back under the people, who, by their consent, the government operates for their benefit, for their good, for their posterity, rather than being subjected to the whims of a for-profit corporation, which we have been subjected to for some time. Janine, with that, I'll yield, unless there's something more specific that you'd like me to address. Thank you.
No, you did a great job of explaining it. You always do, and I'm anxious to start hearing from some of these states so we can get them on board. So, again, if nothing is happening in your state, please contact us and allow us to help you get it going. Now, as we do every week, we're going to invite Roger Waters to come in with his report. And Roger, before you give your report, I know that you are a district justice for Indiana, and we have a new call on Sunday nights for judges, justices, attorney generals, clerks, basically the judicial branch. Would you give us a quick update or any information as far as how you want those justices to get a hold of you so they can start participating, and then go into your report, please?
Sure. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you, Roger.
We had a Friday night judicial call, and we noticed that we had kind of a low turnout, and come to find out that Friday nights is kind of a bad night across the country. High schools have high school football, soccer, and so forth, and a lot of parents would be involved in that. So we moved it to Sunday, and wouldn't you know it, our participation has increased almost by double. So we're really pleased with that. As far as what we are doing, Justice Smoke from Illinois is really doing a great job teaching us on the judicial acts that Congress passed back in 1789 and the early 1800s. We're going over definitions. Every one of our judges needs to know everything we can possibly know about the laws that were already set down, how the court is supposed to operate, the definition of terms. All these things are so important for us. We're emphasizing mainly that we all have to be on the same page. We can't have one judge in Oklahoma doing one thing and another judge in Maine doing something else. We all have to be doing the same things. We need to be able to go into one court in one state and the next day go across the country and go into that another court and find out that they're doing exactly the same thing as they were yesterday. And that is vitally important. And of course, the main object of all this is the Constitution. We as republic justices and judges have one set of law that we go by, and that is the Constitution and the laws that the Congress has passed that is not contrary to that Constitution. We emphasize every single week that every judge needs to know that Constitution upside down, backwards, frontwards, word for word. We need to know it. It's vitally important. Christianity has its Bible. The Republic has its Constitution. It's on a level playing field. Both are vital for us to know. Emails are being sent out to every governor, I believe, and every justice that we know in the Republic, whether your state is green or not. It will be on Sunday night. I don't happen not to have the numbers in front of me right now. But if you do have a question, my number is on these documents that I send Janine for tonight, but I'll give you my number. It is area code 765-517-3657. My email address, all small letters, is L as in Lima, E, P, as in Paul, A, as, yeah, I'm getting out.
Are you hearing a fast beep?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can find where it's from. I'm sorry, go ahead.
LEPA Republic at gmail.com. That's my email address. So if you have any questions, whether you're a governor, a judge, justice, clerk, whatever, if you're involved in a court procedure and you have questions, feel free to contact me. I'm available all day and all night. So.
And
we'll go with
Roger,
that. Yes.
Also they need to know that the judicial branch officials need to register, and they need to send an email to justice.admin at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Right.
There you go. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, folks, hello. Boy, we've had an interesting week in this country, huh? I want to bring something out real quick before I really get into my meat of what I want to talk about. I've heard a lot of talk in the last 2 or 3 days about people being furloughed, laid off, not getting paid. Most people don't know this, and I didn't know this until just yesterday, but there's a 143-year-old law that Washington passed back in 1870 that says if the government ever shuts down, they can spend no money that has not been appropriated by Congress. This particular shutdown happened on October 1st when they were supposed to have a new budget. They didn't have any. Now, I want to bring to your attention, 2 days ago, both houses in D.C. passed a bill to fund the military and the National Guard. Now, that's all great, except they're going against their own laws. They're not supposed to be able to do that. I understand why they did it, but they've never repealed this act that was passed in 1870. So, why am I saying that? In the Republic, when the Congress passes a law, everybody in the Republic is bound to that law. Congress itself can't make a law and then turn right around and do something contrary to the law they just passed. You see that in D.C. all the time. You will not see that in the Republic. Let me put it another way. You better not see it that way in the Republic. That's why there's a court system. For people who decide they don't want to go along with the way the laws are written. Now, understand that we in the Republic have gone from the Founding Fathers, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, all the way up to 1860. So anything after 1860 does not belong to the Republic. So this particular law would not belong to us. It does, however, belong to them. Just as usual, in D.C., they make their laws, then they break them. Now, you and I have to obey by them, but they don't have to. And that is why I'm saying this, because it leads in to what I really want to talk about. The question is, which class in America are you? Before I get to what's going on in Wisconsin, let me just share with you here what the corporate Secretary of State has said. That would be John Kerry. John Kerry has made some comments here in the last 6 months that should wake everybody up in this country. I'm not going to read you everything. I will say this. Speaking to a State Department personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Brasilia, this past Tuesday, now this would be 2 weeks ago, John Kerry made some very revealing comments. Not only did he pay homage to Henry Kissinger, but he also took the opportunity to demonize the Internet and complain about how difficult it has become to control people following the Cold War. In other words, the slaves were easier to keep in line before they had all this information. Kerry said, quote, "I'm a student of history, and I love to go back and read a particularly great book like Henry Kissinger's book about diplomacy, where you think about the 18th and 19th centuries and the balance of power and how difficult it was for countries to advance their interest in years of wars," Kerry said to a gathering of State Department employees and all their families. "And we sometimes say to ourselves, boy, aren't we lucky," Kerry continued. "Well, folks," he said, "ever since the end of the Cold War, forces have been unleashed that were trampled down for centuries by dictators, and that was complicated further by this little thing called the Internet and the ability of people everywhere to communicate instantaneously and to have more information coming at them in one day than most people can process in months or a year. It makes it much harder to govern, makes it much harder to organize people, much harder to find a common interest," said Kerry. Now, if you understand what that statement just said, he says that it's very difficult to rule. It's very difficult to keep you in line because of the Internet. Now, a statement like that, sometimes you have to look at what's not said to understand what's really being said. He is saying that he is above everybody else. Now, that's the way the corporate government operates. And it's not just John Kerry. It's everybody that's in D.C. They believe they are above their own laws and that they are above everybody else. They have become the ruling class, and we are just a bunch of misfits that can't do anything right, and we need their protection and their common sense to tell us on a daily basis how to go to the bathroom. That's it in a nutshell. We cannot do anything without them telling us what to do. That's their philosophy. I will tell you this. In this republic, that will never ever happened. This republic does have a ruling class, and it's you and I, the people. We are the ones who say what happens. There are procedures and there's laws that govern us on how we can get that done. But it is not mob rule like the democracy. The Constitution spills out for us in leadership, in government, what we can and cannot do. We have taken an oath. If you're not in the Republic, listen to what I'm about to say. Every one of us, from Acting President Geiger all the way down to the clerk in a court in a state, has taken an oath to defend, protect, and preserve the Constitution for the United States and their state constitutions. If they do anything contrary to that Constitution, they have broken their oath. Under the Republic, and we've gone over this on our judicial calls, in the Republic, the laws are already made. Our Congress does not have to deal with this. If anybody breaks their oath, it is a life sentence in prison. Why is that? Because our forefathers came from a place where the king and his bodyguard, so to speak, would break their laws every single day. They would arrest you on one thing and then have you charged in front of the king for something else, and they made sure that you had no opportunity to speak for yourself, defend yourself. So when the Founding Fathers put this Constitution together, the one thing they wanted to make sure was that anybody who took an oath for an office, they were held at a high esteem to that oath. And anybody who breaks their oath is going to pay. And it's going to be made public. So the next guy who thinks that they can break their oath and get away with it, they're going to be able to think twice about it. What you see in D.C., they take an oath not to the same Constitution that we do. They take an oath to a different Constitution. They make their own laws and codes and statutes, and yet they don't even follow them. How ironic. And they call themselves the ruling class over us. That's why you hear some people say that we are sheeple, we are slaves. To them, we are. But you see, we have a God that has set this republic up for us with our founding fathers, and we have re-inhabited this republic. It's God's republic. And I'm going to tell you one last thing here tonight. I want you to think about this seriously. I found out Tuesday in Obamacare, next April the 15th, everybody who files a tax return must put a government okayed and regulated health care policy number on their tax return, or they will get fined a certain percentage of their return, if you get any at all. That's next April the 15th. Now, we call that tax day. It also happens to be Passover in the year 2014, which also happens to be the first of four blood moons the next 2 years. And with that, I yield.
Well, thank you, Roger. It's very provocative once again. Well, everyone, we're at the hour. We're at the end of our call. I hope you all have a very good evening. Please, if you need help getting your state on board, please contact us. We're here to help you. And with that said, have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry. I need someone to close the call in prayer. I'm sorry. Roger, you're right there. Would you do that for us?
Sure. Father, we thank you for the time that we can come together in one and in unity and hear your words. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to serve not only you, but to serve your people. It's an honor, and we count it as a blessing for us, Father. We ask that you be with us as we go now and be with each and every one of us in the Republic and be with the leadership of this Republic, Father. We know the strain that they have. We ask that you give them comfort, send angels out before them wherever they may go for their protection and to do their battles for them. And we say that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good night.
We are the USA. For those on the